Well, I warned you what we would talk about this morning, and that was love. Love is a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection as for a parent, child, or friend. And there's many other descriptions of love, but I would like to know, what are some synonyms for love? What's a synonym? That's the same, right? What are synonyms for love? What comes to your mind when I say love? Life? Like. Okay. Affection. Cherish. Charity. Sorry. Adore. Wife. Good call, Father. Tara, would you say cherish? No. Adore. Anybody else? Synonym for love.
Do you know what love stands for?
What's love stand for?
Lots of
what?
Velvet events.
Lots of velvet events. Children, grandchildren, okay. I think my father's thought this service through. What are antonyms for love? Hate. Excuse me?
Envy.
Pride. Did I hear pride? Despise, sorry. Animosity. I'm sorry, Sue. Detest. Father. Sue, anytime you want to go back there and give him an antonym for love, you go right ahead. Any other antonyms that come to your mind when you think of, what's the opposite of love? Okay, jealousy, greed, resentment. Okay. I'd like to start this morning in our Bibles. And I'd like to start in Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. Verses 36 to 40. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. And this is Christ speaking here. One of the Pharisees said to him, he says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So where's our love supposed to start? Within ourselves? Where does this start, though? You're going to go home today and say, okay, I'm going to start loving my wife. I'm going to start loving my children. Where does it start? Where does love start for us? Where is it supposed to start?
With God.
That is where it starts with. And we're commanded here to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. It starts with us loving our Lord and our God in our heart, first and foremost. You know, love is missing in the world because the people aren't loving God. Remember, it's written over in 2 Timothy, lovers, men are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The first and great commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And this is where our love is supposed to start. You know, hopefully when we leave here today, there is a stronger desire that we have. I'm moving the microphone up closer. Hopefully when we leave here today, we do have a stronger desire to love more our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, friends, even our enemies. But I want you to know very clearly that we must love God first, and then everything else falls into the right order. You'll want to love your wife. You'll forgive your enemy. There is an order in that, and it starts with us loving God first. John 15. John 15, 9 to 12. Red letters again. Christ speaking says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." You know, Christ is saying here, he says, the Father's loved me, so I have loved you. He says, now I want you to follow the chain, and I want you to now love your fellow human being. And he says in here, you know, no exceptions, basically. You know, no, if a person does this to you, then you don't have to love. We have to realize it's so important that Christ loved us so much. He sacrificed himself for us, the sinner, the one who was an enemy to what Christ stands for, that we have a responsibility to love those that don't make what I call our top 20 list. You could come up with your top 20 list right now of people that you can love, and you'd start with your family and go on and so forth. And I could ask you then to make a top 10 of the people you don't like, and I'm sure you could write down 10 people that you wouldn't like. But they have to make our top 20. Christ loved us so much, but yet we were an enemy to him, that we too are to love our enemy. I'm going to flip back and forth here in John a little bit. John 13, 34 to 35. And Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." You know, Christ saying, you know, men are going to know you're my disciples if you love one another. Not because, you know, I said, hey, Peter, will you be my disciple and follow me? But because of obedience to Christ, this love would show that they're pupils, that they adhere to the words that he said to them. You know, and the same call is for us if we want to be a disciple of Christ. Then we too must show that same love that he had for us. John 14:21, just a few verses away. Christ says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, "Not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." So how, if I'm asking you guys today to love first God and God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ, that is first and foremost where our love is to be, how do we do it? It's real simple. How do you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength? Keep his commandments. It's very, very simple. It's a very, very simplistic thing that we have to do. Christ does not beat around the bush in the New Testament whatsoever when it comes to how do we love the Father and how do we love Jesus Christ. We are to keep his commandments. It's very, very plain. John 15, just a few verses over in 13, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. I really love verse 13, saying that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Why did Christ make that comment? You know, it's right after he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Why did Christ say that? You know, I've read that verse, I don't know how many times, and I often thought he was referring to someone, you know, and I'd think of myself, and I'd think of a close friend, and I would always think of, you know, if I was a true friend to them, that if there was a life and death circumstance, that I would lay my life in front of them and take the bullet for them or whatever the need might be. And when I read it this time, I read it just the way that you said it, Wayne, and I really never, I don't know why, I never really thought of it like that. But that's the true reason behind why Christ said this. He was saying to them, he was letting them know basically what he was going to do. Christ would eventually do this. He would eventually lay his life down for them. And he's saying that, you know, no greater thing can I do for you than to lay my life down for you to show that I love you this much. The latter part I like here, it says, we've been chosen basically by God to go to bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. I want to back up in chapter 15 to the first verse. And in the first verse, he talks about that a little bit. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that he beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We were talking about the olive tree this morning in Sunday school, and the analogy is similar here as well. You know, we are branches. Christ compares us to being branches, and he says that we're to be connected to the vine, right? That's where the nourishment comes from, a branch on a tree. If it's connected, then it's how it gets its water, it's how it gets its sustenance in order to be a healthy branch, to bear forth fruit. Well, you know, if we went out to a tree, maybe not this time of year, but in the springtime, and we cut off a branch and we throw it onto the ground and we come back in a few days, what are we going to find? We're going to find leaves that have withered. We're going to find the fruit, whatever was on the tree, the fruit would be moldy. the bark is easy to peel off because the branch is dead. It's dried up. Christ is saying in order to bear the fruit that we've been called to bear, we have to be connected to Christ. Whether it's one fruit, like me, that you're trying to bear, or whether your branch is so fruitful that your fruit is almost touching the ground, it doesn't matter. You have to be connected to the vine. You have to be connected to Christ. You know, we can only bear forth love in our life if we're connected arm in arm to Christ. I'll say that one more time. We can only bear forth love in our life if we are arm in arm with Christ. I want to turn in Galatians and I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. Galatians 5:16, Paul says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of the vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." You know, if we are to bear the fruit of the Spirit, if we're to bear love in our life, and be this branch that's connected to the vine, or be the person that's connected to Jesus Christ, then it says we are to be walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And I often read through that really quick in the beginning, and I want to read that again. It said, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." We want to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our life. We have to stay away of the works of the flesh. And I mentioned quite a few to them: adultery, fornication, witchcraft, hatred, emulations, wrath, strife. I had an incident Friday where one of these kind of came out, and you try to justify the works of the flesh, don't you? You try to find justification in giving in, and we know that one's contrary to the other, but don't we try to find reason that it's not contrary, that it fits in? And I got to explain this, because it's so what a petty situation that I let grab hold of me. We had a very important meeting Friday. We had our board meeting. We discussed all types of things concerning business and important things that happened throughout the year and big decisions for the coming year. And immediately after that, we have an incident, the Girl Scout incident, I call it. We had a Girl Scout troop get mad because someone was going to be asking us to another Girl Scout troop was going to be asking us if they could set up and sell cookies. And they had began to use the social media, Facebook, to get the message out there, you know, and in so many words weren't saying it was our business. But of course, as it went on, our business name was mentioned. And here we had not given authorization to nothing and had nothing to do with it. And Mark had the message on his phone to respond, and I said, "No, give me the message. I'll handle it." And I knew when I called, I said that I had to be really firm here so that things like this don't happen again. And from Twin Rivers all the way to the school in Messina, which is like a 20-minute drive, I began to yell at a lady on the phone. I feel like I displayed hatred. And I even looked it up in the dictionary, and it said a feeling of intense dislike. By the way, the antonym right after that is love. The antonym to hatred is love. And but I was justifying it. I didn't agree with what Paul said here, that they're contrary. I thought that this was, that I was justified in this, in my flesh lusting after, wanting to have hatred and to really set things straight. And you know, I didn't even realize this that night. You know, I was so proud. I told my mom, I told my brother, I took care of the situation, told my dad. It didn't hit me till yesterday that I had failed to show love miserably. What should I have done? Help me out. What should I have done? What good is it to talk about this if you don't know the action you're going to take to correct it? So what should I have done? Okay, I could have asked why they started that. What else could I have done? Controlled my anger. Self-control. We're going to talk about that one. I'm working on that one next week. I'm glad you mentioned that, Sue. I think it's a problem we have collectively. Self-control. What else should I have done? Prayed about it before I called. Do you think I prayed about it before I called? Prayer was the furthest thing from my mind. Revenge, setting her straight. And you know why? Because I knew that we had did not give permission. So I immediately had the thought of revenge, of setting someone straight because I had the right answer. You know, I could have still called and been mad. Even if I would have gave permission, I could have called and I could have had anger, you know, about somebody putting something on Facebook that can ruin someone's reputation. But no, I had it conjured up in my mind because I knew I was right. And it was like I had revenge tied with hate. I failed to show this love miserably. Loving one another. Now, I want to switch gears a little bit. I said that I wanted to talk about our love that we're to have together as spouses. And I didn't mean to end on that part, to go into that. I meant nothing to do with that. But I wanted to, again, love was a little bit on my mind because of the anniversaries. Dale and Terry celebrating 34 years. My mom and dad celebrating 4 years yesterday, actually. And Wayne and Sue celebrating 46 years in a week or two. And in February, things playing ahead of me. So I want to play something for you called Romantically Challenged. And this is by the guys that I showed you guys last week. They're called the Skit Guys. And this, I want to start with us men. Because I believe that's where it has to start. And so, this is a skit called Romantically Challenged. Because I know we don't have any men that are romantically challenged. Yes, Wayne, Eli, myself. Dale, I know, writes poems and sends flowers, so this isn't as much for him. Thank you.
and I am romantically challenged. My wife is from Venus, and I am from Mars, but we must learn to live together on Earth. Although I don't like to talk or share my feelings, I am here tonight to do both, because I love my wife.
Who's up?
Hi, my name is Dan, and I am romantically challenged.
Hi, Dan. Dan, I want you to share your feelings, even though it goes against everything you stand for as a man.
I tried the trick that Jerry taught us last week.
A trick is what a two-bit magician does at a county fair. Jerry was given a technique, and a technique...
Hey, Dr. Phil, let him finish.
So anyway, I decided I'd use Jerry's technique. Last week, my wife came to me all exasperated and pulled her hair out and whatnot about her job. And I used Jerry's words exactly. I said, now, honey, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to listen or fix it? And what'd she say?
Listen.
Fix it.
And so anyway, I tried to listen. I really did. But in the middle of listening, I came up with a 7-point plan to fix it. I'm so ashamed.
It's okay, Dan. Hey. You're multitasking, all right? And that is very hard for your untrained one-track man brain to do. Feel proud of that, all right? Who's next?
Hey, I'll go. Hey, guys, I'm Jerry, and I'm was romantically challenged.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey. Yeah, I actually went through the program, and now I'm a real romantic, according to someone. At home. Remember when we talked about how we're supposed to love our wives like Christ loves the church? Well, gentlemen, mission accomplished. Okay? This weekend, I saw some extra charges on Cindy's bank card. So, yeah. But I, instead of yelling and screaming like I normally would, I acted in a more Christ-like manner.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I simply turned over her nightstand and her scrapbooking table and said, get out of here, money changer. I was like, duh.
I don't think that's what the Ephesians 5 passage means.
Okay, I'm sorry, Bill Gates. Who are you?
No, I think when it says that we should love our wives like Christ loved the church, that means that we're supposed to serve and sacrifice.
Hey, I was cleansing the temple. I was cleansing the temple.
Okay, different perspective, not necessarily right, just different. All right, I think the question is, how many of you have ever done anything for your wife without desiring anything in return? Maybe sitting on the couch, cuddling up to her, watching a movie, maybe The Notebook.
Are you even married?
Jesus wasn't married. Now look, the point I'm trying to... No, I'm not, and that stings a little bit. I have read parts of a lot of relationship books, and if anyone thinks they can lead this group better than I can, put your hand down, Jerry. I am sharing my feelings, and that's what you need to do with your wives. Practice makes perfect. Who wants to go next?
I guess I could give it a shot. Hi, guys. My name is Sheldon, and I am romantically challenged.
Hi, Sheldon.
I thought I'd just share a few things from the program that I've learned so far. First, if your wife says she doesn't know where she wants to go eat, well, that's pretty much code for Italian and expensive Italian. And secondly, if you're getting her an anniversary gift, the Snuggies, not really a very good idea, even if it's the leopard print. Learn that one the hard way. And then third, the simple act of doing dishes is a big, big win. I mean, a big one. So, do all the dishes you can. Thanks.
I have no idea what you said, but that was good. Bathroom break isn't yet.
Sorry, I gotta go. Sorry, guys.
Oh, Mr. Big Guy doesn't want to share, does he?
Not tonight.
Probably doesn't care about his wife.
Okay, I'll share. This is a picture of my wife and kids. I've been married for 20 years. We married young, and I don't regret it. Have we had our share of storms? Sure. Do we have some amazing memories? Too many to mention. Do I try to fix things? I do. But it's just because
after 20 years of marriage, I still want to ride in and be my wife's knight in shining armor. I remember when we got engaged, her father looked at me and he said, just love her the way Christ loved the church. I smiled and said I would, having no idea what that meant. And I still don't know if I understand it. But you know what I want? I want to be a man who wakes up every morning and asks the question, how can I bless my wife? And God, men, isn't that what you want? I mean, isn't your wife worth it?
Hey, Wade. Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Sit down, Jerry.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Okay, enough. Sit down. What is going on? Sit down. Please, sit down.
I need a wife.
I really enjoy their skits that they do. They add humor, which I really like humor in order to get a point across. Any men in here romantically challenged? Fix things instead of listen. Any credit card charges you disapprove of? Where do you want to eat questions? Present questions. Do the dishes. Do we want to be our wife's knight in shining armor? He made the comment to love your wife like Christ loved the church. How can I bless my wife, he said. How can I love my wife? Men, isn't that what we want? Ephesians. I want to turn and I want to read Ephesians 5, which is a chapter dedicated to love. And I'd like to read it. Chapter 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetedness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord? Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning the church, the Christ in the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You know, the entire chapter is about love. Christ loving us, us loving Christ, loving ourselves, loving our spouses. Is there an order that God set in the family? We know that he set an order. And when it comes to husband and wife relationships, men, it starts with us loving our wives. It's what causes a woman to submit to the order that God ordained. You know, when I was studying for the first couple I married, I came upon that and didn't really understand it before I got married. Didn't understand it till I really was studying and getting ready to marry others. And I've mentioned it to every couple that I've married that that it starts with the husband loving the wife, that there was an order that God has set. And in the family, the man is to be the head of the household, and he is the one responsible for shedding love in the relationship and the start of it so that the wife will submit to the husband. I want to read or I play another little one of these clips for you.
Go.
Whoa, how'd you find the card so fast?
I'm a speaker of lady language. I hear their voices in my head, much like Beethoven heard music.
No, I think those are just voices.
Either way, I've got a card, and you don't.
I'm trying to find one with the right words. I can't find one that really describes how I feel.
Here, this one.
This one. This is the one.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Sugar is sweet and so is honey. I bought you this card because I had no money.
That is so you.
No, it's not.
Yes, it
no,
is.
No, it's not. It's not me.
What are you trying to say?
I need a card that says, I don't deserve you. I never have, and I never will. From the moment that I first saw you, I knew that I wanted to be with you, to know you, to understand you. I am humbled that you chose me. I have married out of my league, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't recognize that fact. And I've never taken our vows lightly. What do I say to the mother of my children, my best friend, my soulmate? I love you can just sound so cliche and trite, but it's the only words that I know. I love you. I mean, that would be a card, you know? That would be a card that I'd want to buy. What's the matter? What happened?
Don't look at me!
Okay, don't
look away!
I have... What's the matter?
It's like I'm a swimming pool, and your words are like cannonballs landing. Pull yourself together, man. Attention, everybody. We are in the presence of a true wordsmith.
No, we're not.
Allow his words to be the wings on which your cards fly.
No. No.
I want what he's having.
Okay, we need to go. We need to go right now.
I've got an idea. We'll get those cards that are blank on the inside, and we'll write your words on them, and then we'll give them to our ladies. But we have to write in calligraphy.
I'm just going to take your card.
Wait!
Wait. What was that part about the true soulmates?
I need a pen. I'm going to write this down. That stuff is gold. That'll give me a whole Sunday of football.
I wanted to play that for you today. It's called Love Words, because it does matter what you write on a card. And I hope that it will, that you'll remember that the next time you buy a card and the next time you write on it. It does matter if you do the dishes. It does matter if you listen. If we're linked to the vine, we can produce the fruit of the Spirit of love. If we're linked to the vine, if we're arm in arm to Christ, we can produce love in our life. If we're arm in arm with Christ, we can produce love in our life. Last week, Terry said she had a great idea for our reunion gift, and I'll go ahead and announce it now. Why not, right? She's thinking 6 months ahead of time, which is great. She said, let's get some branches, 16, 18 inches long, some branches that we'll cut down, and we're going to hang some pieces of string from them on some laminated paper cutouts of fruit. So orange paper laminated in the shape of an orange, and maybe a cluster of grapes and an apple and so on and so forth. And on those, we were going to write the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. And we would almost make like a mobile of the fruit of the Spirit. And she said that when it's been on her mind, and she said a few weeks ago at our service, remember when I asked everybody what you were going to work on in 2012? Kelly said that I'm going to work on the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. But when I got to her, she said, I'm going to work on the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And Terry said, that kind of hit her too, and what a great idea. And so she came up with that. And, I agree that we need to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We need to find out if we're connected to the vine, or are we wishfully thinking we're connected to the vine and talking the good talk, and really are we getting dried up because we are choosing the works of the flesh over the works of the Spirit. I hope you get some inspiration. I know I was all over the place today talking about love we're to have as couples, love we're to have with our enemy, love we're to have to God and to His Son, Jesus Christ. But I want to leave us with the idea that we need to work on bearing love in our life, that we need to make sure that we're arm in arm to Christ and that we bear that fruit of the Spirit, specifically love today.